CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com. We get a lot of really interesting people in here, and they're often people that kind of get everybody in the office talking. And when my guest this morning came in, everybody turned around and looked. And I think she has that effect. Like, she walks into a room and everybody kind of stops whatever they're doing and pays attention to her. Even if she's doing nothing. No, it's true. I can be honest with you because I got nothing to lose. So I can tell you that you are one of the most strikingly beautiful. You have such a presence about you. You're one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Ever.
That's not a real thing.
I promise.
How is that a real thing? How many beautiful women have you come across in your life?
A lot, but you are right up there.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Munewa.
Yes.
It is a pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
I've only known of you from a distance and kind of, I obviously have seen you perform. And
I have. Oh, my God.
And I know you by reputation, but it's really a pleasure to actually meet you. Finally.
Thank you so much.
I'll be sitting here.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here, finally.
Yeah, it's taken a long time.
Time.
You listen to a boom chugga. Oh, who doesn't know that song?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So where do we begin with you? Because you actually have a really interesting history. I heard that your surname is Moshoeshoe.
Yes.
Right, so you're proper Sotho then. That's about as Sotho gets.
Deep, deep Sotho.
Yeah.
Like in the bundus,
right.
Like holding the stick with the hat made from whatever they make it from and the blanket.
The serantabu.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? See, I know my stuff.
Yo. Damn. Jesus, get out of here, man.
But that must be because you are obviously related to the Moshoeshoes.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you are a Moshoeshoe, but I am. The king?
Yes, the king.
Wow.
Actually, my aunt knows the story better than I do. My aunt Ntati Moshe, she's an actress.
Of course.
So she knows the story better than I do. I really don't know much about my history. I won't lie. I'm kind of ashamed of it, to admit it. But yeah. And I also don't know how to speak Sotho.
Oh.
I grew up with Zulus and Xhosas.
You grew up in the Eastern Cape, right?
I grew up in the Eastern Cape. Yeah. And mostly in Durban. But I was born in the Eastern Cape. I lived there until my grandmother passed away. And then I moved to Durban. I think it was 1995 when I moved to Durban, sometime in 1995. And then I lived in Durban until I was about 20.
Yeah.
And I moved to Durban.
And you didn't have a whole lot of money when you were a kid?
No.
Right? There wasn't a lot.
I mean, I was born into a wealthy family. My grandmother was extremely wealthy. She was the first millionaire in Mthatha. The first female millionaire in Mthatha, not the first millionaire, obviously.
Wow.
Yeah. She was the first self-made female millionaire.
What did she do?
Just ran a lot of businesses at the same time. She used to sell vetkoeks in the street in 1976. And by 1986, she had made her first million.
Wow.
Insane.
Don't you love hearing stories like this? Because these people who managed to do that during like those years where it was difficult enough for a black person to even find a job with white people, let alone, you know, kind of start their own thing and do it while white people were actively trying to stop them from doing it.
Absolutely. Mid-apartheid, single woman.
She must have been quite something, this grandmother.
She was, if she was alive today, I'm pretty sure we'd all know who she was. Like,
yeah. She'd probably be premier of the Eastern Cape.
Definitely. She'd be, well, she'd be somewhere along those lines.
That's,
but yeah, she was someone. She was really something.
So she had lots of money. But, I mean, you didn't grow up with a silver spoon in your mouth.
No. After she passed away.
How old were you when that happened?
5. She was about 54 when she died. After she passed away, I don't know, things kind of turned sour for the family, man. Obviously, people got some money, people got some property, but, you know, other people, I don't think were ready to handle that kind of money. They weren't ready to handle their finances yet. I mean, her children, my mom and her brothers were very young when my grandmother died. So they didn't quite handle the finances well.
And there's bound to be family fighting
over
the money.
Of course.
This one got that, and then this one.
Of course. So I think within five, six years, everything was gone.
Really? Yeah. So did you have a pretty tough time from then on?
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah. My mom and I struggled, mostly throughout my high school life. Yeah, we really struggled. It was bad. Like, no water and electricity for weeks on end, kind of bad. It was hectic. And then by the time my baby brother was born, oh boy.
Then it's even more strained.
Oh my gosh. Could not deal.
So are we talking like candles and water being carried across?
No, that's a little extreme.
Nothing that bad.
No, not that bad. No, thank God.
But it was pretty hardcore, right?
It was. I mean, sometimes I had to walk to school because she couldn't afford to give me bus money or get me a bus ticket.
And how far was that?
My school was in Durban North.
And you'd have to go
and
from?
And I lived in Berea.
You're?
It's like walking
that's
from
a
here
long,
to
that's
Madrid,
a long way, right across basically. The river and everything, yeah?
Yeah. Jesus. It helped, though. God, I don't think I'd be in shape today if it wasn't for those long walks. This poor life really, really set me up for the good life. Thank you, poverty.
At least there's some good you could take out of it.
Yeah. No, yeah,
I mean, you could never have guessed when you were that girl walking to high school.
Yeah.
Across that Umgeni River.
The river.
That goddamn river.
Meet me at the river.
You couldn't have guessed that you'd end up being a well-known household name, a singer, a dancer.
Oh.
You know?
Definitely not.
What did you think you would be at that stage? What did you think would happen in your life?
Honestly, it's the weirdest thing. In my mind, I was going to become a singer and an actress and a dancer. But I don't think I really believed it until it happened. Like, I realized I didn't believe it when it happened. I was actually...
Do you believe in that stuff?
This is actually happening.
That idea that you can visualize things and make them happen?
I believe. I really, really do because I feel like
that's clearly what happened here. Even though
that's my life.
You didn't believe you could visualize it. Right?
Yes. At the back of my mind, I knew. In my heart, I knew. But I think because of my surroundings, under the circumstances, I grew up in a neighborhood that didn't exactly motivate and inspire young kids like me.
Tell me
you'd
about
come
it.
To school or play with the kids, the other kids, and you'd be like, guys, one day when I grow up, I'm going to be, you know, everyone's like, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm like, I'm going to be a famous singer and songwriter and an actress. And people are just like,
they laugh
yeah,
at you.
Yeah, girl.
They thought you were full of shit, right?
Yeah, they're just like, okay, girl, that's nice. And I guess back then I couldn't sing as well as I could now. So when I used to like, you know, practice, play like, you know, what's that classroom game we used to play where someone used to come to the front and like something, the talent, what talent show, whatever.
Yeah.
Show your
it's
talent.
It's like a school talent show. Yeah. You go up and you would sing and what, they weren't impressed?
Yeah. During like a free lesson, they'd be like, come to the front and show us your talent. And I'd be like, yes. Yeah. I don't think you're ready for this yet. So the kids are just like, okay, girl, Beyonce wannabe. So yeah, people didn't really, I don't think a lot of people really believed it would happen for me either. I didn't believe it would happen for me. So my parents certainly didn't believe it. And when it did happen, my mom was the first one to be like, girl, I'm so proud of you. Now send me some money.
Right. Because that's what happens. I mean, let's not mess around. A lot of parents, the worst thing they can hear from their kid is that they want to be a singer or they want to be a dancer or an actress.
Of course.
They're like, oh no, I'm going to be supporting her forever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my mom was very upset initially when I told her that I was dropping out of school to go pursue music. She was distraught. She was just like, I cannot believe I spent all those years raising you so that you could do something this silly. But, you know, I guess it's just all about showing and proving with our parents, you know. I guess at the end of the day, just want to see that there is some sort of, you know, truth to the things that we say and substance to our futures. So, yeah.
I'm not being fair, though, because it wasn't just visualizing things. You worked damn hard. I mean, when you started dancing, you would enter competitions so you could win the prize money.
Yeah.
And that kept you going.
It did.
And you couldn't come second or third. You had to win to get the money.
Pretty much.
And so here you got your mom who's like, you know, this daughter of mine, she's probably going to end up, I'm going to support her forever.
Mm.
And then you've got you who, although you weren't entirely sure you believed you could do it, you knew somewhere in the back of your mind this was going to happen. But you worked. And
I
that's
did.
What's missing from so many people these days,
I
don't
did.
You think?
That's so true. I
you
was
meet
actually
people
having this
and they
discussion
say to you,
yesterday.
Well, now, how do I become a famous singer or dancer? And you're like, uh-oh.
I don't know.
So you were having this conversation?
Yes. We were just talking about how a lot of us feel like there's no value in hard work and talent anymore. People don't invest in talent and hard work anymore. People sort of invest in scandals, stories at Cellfest and people that sort of, I don't know, exploit their bodies to get ahead.
Or can create some noise on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know
it's all about how many bikini pictures you can post now. And I feel like that keeps your relevance. And I hate to be the one to say this, and I know a lot of people are going to take this the wrong way. And quite frankly, I really don't care. But like, it's just hard for people that really see the value in hard work. It's hard. I don't want to have to be naked and do certain things to get attention. I would hope that my country would, you know, invest in my talent because I have it, and you know, my hard work because I work hard. So it's tough. People don't work hard anymore. People don't feel the need to work hard anymore because there's an easier way to get famous and to get money.
And there's also this idea that fame is of itself some kind of achievement. It's not, right?
It's really, really not.
To be famous for nothing is as bad as to be not famous for nothing.
Yes, Gareth. And it's sort of like a spit in the face for people that are famous for something.
Yeah.
You know, for people that actually have a talent.
Because there seems to be competition for positions like the it girl or the alpha male rapper, for example.
Absolutely.
And you're like, you know what? I can kind of understand that if you're working towards a goal and there's something going on.
Yeah.
But if it's just to be on the cover of a magazine for a week, is that a goal?
It really isn't. I mean, I've never been on a cover of a magazine.
You should be.
I mean. Shout out, hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Haven't your people suffered enough?
You know. Enough is enough. No, I haven't been on the cover of a magazine, but yeah. It's tough, man. It's really, 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 really tough.
Do you ever think back to those years where you were doing these dancing competitions and think, how the hell did I make it through? Because there must have been times where you were just down. And
absolutely. I mean, the road to success. In fact, I don't even feel like I'm there yet. Hmm. So let me say the journey to success. It's difficult. It's not easy. But yeah, I went through a couple of hard times.
Did you ever have a moment where you were going to give up?
I had a few of those. I mean, for me, I just feel like my career has been somewhat stagnant ever since it began. I feel like I was on my way, and right before I reached my peak, something just didn't add up. It was sort of like a missing piece of the puzzle. And I've sort of been at this spot for a while now. But in a way, I also feel like it's a good thing, because if you peak too early, then you have to sort of maintain that standard.
That's it. And it's impossible to hold on to.
Pretty much impossible, yeah. Unless you got like Beyonce money, then you're going to be okay. But to constantly reinvent yourself, especially in a conservative country like South Africa, there's not a lot we can do with ourselves as artists when it comes to creativity. I mean, there is a lot, but I don't want to sort of stray too far from home. There's a reason why people know me, and it's because of, you know, my music that I do now and the type of person that I am now. So like, for example, in America, you can do the whole good girl gone bad. For example, let's say Rihanna. Okay. When Rihanna started, she was sort of like all innocent and sweet.
Right.
And then she transformed into this.
Now she's grinding up against Drake.
Now she is just this. Exactly. Whereas in South Africa, I don't think it would have worked out here for her. The minute she went all, you know, sexy and crazy and like, you know, daring, it wouldn't have worked here. We're very conservative people. There's not really much you can do when it comes to that.
Yeah, so. I think that's a problem. But I think there's also, it's going to change at some point.
I hope so.
It's going to have to, because people have got to get over themselves.
Absolutely. I know. So maybe someone's going to be out here to change it, you know.
All right. Maybe it's
you. Someone's planning to do that.
But you did. I mean, you talked just now about, you know, you won't kind of get naked on the cover of a magazine just to be famous.
Of course not.
No. But you did have to model to pay the bills at a certain point, right?
Yes. But
you didn't do like lingerie and that kind of thing.
Well, I did, but
where are those pictures? Let me Google them right now.
Stop.
Just Googling Munewa in lingerie. I'm just going to see what I can find here.
I mean, stop. You come across a lot of brands that want you to, you know, wear their clothes. So for me, there were a few. But my modeling career, I thoroughly enjoyed modeling. I don't think it was really for the money. Obviously, the money was a bonus. I didn't even know there was that kind of money in modeling. But I modeled from age 6 to age 14. Mm. And then I did a bit more modeling jobs, I think, during my adult years.
But that's right young. Before the music. I mean, when you're modeling as a kid, because that's effectively what you were.
Yeah.
And it's got to be hard to deal with.
It was, but my first paycheck when I was 6 was 25,000 rand.
Yes.
For a cornflakes advert that I did for Nigeria. In Nigeria.
Wow.
Well, I didn't do it in Nigeria, but I did it for a Nigerian cornflakes brand, something like that.
You're like, wow, I'll eat cornflakes for the rest of my life. Thank you very much.
I was chilling though with my fake mom and fake dad.
25 grand. Hello, baby. That's nice, grand. Right?
For a 6-year-old,
it's
yeah.
It's hard to say no. I mean, you can understand why so many people, especially young girls, get caught up in that kind of life.
Absolutely.
Because the money's great and you get to travel the world and you get to do exciting things. And then when you turn 30 and your looks start to fade or whatever, then your life gets really horrible really quickly.
You need something to sustain you from around that age.
But
onwards.
I mean, you were smart as hell at school. You got really good marks.
I did. And then there was a boy and he distracted me and I fell in love and he was a bit of a beep head.
Was he like a bad boy?
He was a terrible boy. Like, bad is an understatement.
No, because, you know, all the gorgeous-looking girls at school, they always used to go out with these really bad guys.
I know.
Is that what happened with you?
That is exactly what happened with me. All my life, I had to fight.
What a disappointment you are. Huh?
Oh, I've learned my lesson.
Really?
No, like, honestly. But
so tell me about this guy.
You know, he was my first love. And he broke my heart. But he traumatized me, that guy, man. He did a lot of things. I don't want to get into detail. I was 17.
Okay.
I don't want to get into detail because, like, I don't want to give him the satisfaction.
But are you saying that he, I mean, you said he broke your heart and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But did he, because he was the first boyfriend, you know, a lot of girls feel like they lose something to that first boyfriend. And it could be the actual physical virginity, but it could also be some kind of, like, you lose a part of you because you trust and you want so desperately to make him the one.
Absolutely.
Is that what happened?
That is what happened. He shaped the way that I see men today.
Uh-oh.
Well, not entirely, but to a certain degree.
Son of a bitch. He's spoiled it for all men.
Yes. Uh-oh. I could see the wrong guy coming from a mile away now. Thanks to him.
This guy.
There's certain things I'll pick up pretty at very early stages.
He's on the phone right now. Do you want to speak to him?
Yeah, sure. Oh, hey, Satan. How are you doing?
That's
warm
right,
down there.
You remember me.
No, that sounds horrible. What happened here? How did it go so wrong?
Might as well just talk about it. He slept with my best friend.
Oh.
After cheating on me with God knows who else.
That is the douchebag of all douchebag moves.
Yeah, and when I broke up with him, I broke up with him because he had cheated on me with probably like the 10th girl. But obviously I was in denial because when you're in love like that, everyone tells you just like, stop trying to break us up.
I know people who've been married for 20 years and she won't accept that he's cheating on her.
Exactly.
Even though
but
everybody,
hard.
The evidence is right there. Yeah, it's
so
tough.
Hard, especially when he sells you dreams. It's like, babe, come on. You know, so-and-so has always been jealous of us and so-and-so has always wanted me and this and this and that. Don't go listening to people. You really want to jeopardize, you know, the happiness in this relationship. So you're also just like, yo, actually, I need to be loyal to my man. And after a while, it really gets tired. You really need to wonder, start wondering asking yourself.
So did you actually catch them sleeping together? Because how did you eventually go, okay, enough?
So my best friend, she was my best friend then. And her then close friend was the one who told me because everybody knew except me. And she felt like, and she saw it. So she was just like, I'm getting to know you. I really, really like you. And I feel like this is sad. Like, I can't let you go on.
But now you've got to tell me how you feel when that happens, because you go through a bunch of different emotions, right?
Definitely. So I only confirmed this in varsity, but I had suspected it in high school, which is when I broke up with him.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a year prior to me actually really finding out with evidence that it really happened.
So you never confronted him?
I did. So she was living with my now best friend, who was her then best friend. So weird.
So you're still friends with each other. Her best friend?
Who told me, yeah.
Obviously her, you scratched her eyes out, she's dead.
In my heart, yes. They'll never find her body.
She's dead to you. Did you ever speak to her afterwards?
I did. I speak to her all the time, actually.
What?
Well, when I see her. You know what? It was a very long time ago. And also, people change. People go, we're not friends anymore. We'll never be friends anymore. She'll never be a part of my life. So I might as well forgive her. It's not like, you know, it's not like I don't see her.
Okay, but what comes first? Is it, do you feel guilty? Do you feel betrayed? Do you feel angry?
Anger.
Anger's
anger
first.
Came first and okay. Then betrayal.
Are you the sort of person who lashes out when you're angry?
Yes. I'd rather just
physically?
Get it out and then no.
Have you ever hit anyone?
I have. Well.
A man, a woman, a child?
Never hit a man. Definitely hit a woman.
Hand or a fist?
Fist.
A fist in the face.
You don't know what she said to me.
Is this the girl that we're talking about now?
No. I didn't have the heart to put my hands on her. When I confronted her, I thought I would beat her up, but I just burst into tears. And I told her that more than anything, I felt sorry for her because of how much I loved her as a friend and how much I really, really had her best interest at heart. And it's very hard to find people like that. So she would have to live with the fact that she lost something like that. And I just cried and I walked away. I was not expecting to react like that. I thought I was going to go in there and be like, how could you do this to me? Strangle her a bit, shake her up, throw out the window.
It's never how you imagine it, huh?
It's never how you imagine. Like standing there in front of her, I just broke down. I just cried.
But you have hit another girl in the face with a fist.
Definitely.
She must have done something horrendous. If sleeping with your boyfriend at the time didn't get her
she
a can of whoop-ass.
She said something horrendous.
Oh, she said
and
something.
There was alcohol involved. We were drunk and she just said the wrong thing about...
Did you knock her out?
About my dad. I did knock her out.
Oh! I mean, I don't stand up for violence, but this
me
is...
Me neither. I don't condone it at all, but I mean... Sometimes people hit sometimes people hit below the belt. Yeah. Like some people cross like the worst kind of like they cross boundaries but on universal boundaries, like galactic boundaries. It's like, girl, woo!
There's no coming back.
What do you mean? Fist, wait, stop, where are you going now? Oops. There we go.
And then it connects and it's beautiful.
And it's just like pow.
Are you, as a result of this guy,
yeah.
You say he changed the way you feel about men forever.
Definitely.
Do you find it difficult to have relationships now? Trust an issue? Is that what you mean?
Not really. Yes, initially I did. I won't lie. But I guess now I'm just at a point in my life where I know exactly what I want. So it's not necessarily that because of what I've been through with this guy, I'm not going to be with a guy because of ABC. It's just that at this point, I don't think I've ever been this sure of myself. I don't think I've ever felt this empowered as Munewa, as a woman, as a career woman.
That's such a good place to be, though,
It's just unbelievable contentment.
You go to sleep at night without insecurities and concerns.
I mean, yeah, I'll probably always have concerns, but... Like when it comes to myself and my future, I know what I want. I know exactly what I want from a man. I know exactly what I want to do with my career. Yeah,
this sounds like an impossible man. I mean,
do
such men exist?
They do. I mean, I'm not looking for Captain Perfect. I'm not looking for Prince Charming. I don't want the perfect guy. I think the perfect guy is overrated. It's boring. I want someone who's flawed because I'm flawed. So we could sort of just like, get to know each other and,
Do you know, you say yourself, do you know your own weaknesses?
I do. I mean, I do to a certain degree, but I'm also learning. Sometimes there's things about myself that I don't notice that people think are amazing. And I'm just like, I didn't realize that was being amazing. I was just being myself. And then there's things about me that I don't notice that people think are a bit to the left. That was not the intention. So I'm also getting to know myself, but I'm at a point where I'm open to that.
Sorry, that was just your head swimming and smashing into the desk. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
I'm at a point where I'm open to that. Mm. I think before I was so stubborn. When people used to be like, Manawa, you're this type of person, I'd be like, oh, well, that's your judgment. I feel like I'm like this, and you can't tell me about me because you're not me. You've never had to walk a day in my shoes, so you can't tell me about me. Keep quiet.
You sound like a South Park character. No. I like that a lot. Yeah.
No, who's the
you
other
can't
guy?
Tell me about me.
Who's that guy?
Cartman.
Cartman.
So, is there a guy now?
Not really.
Really?
But there are phone
calls.
There's
a guy, but he's not really invited in yet.
It's so new.
He's not invited in yet.
Not yet. It's still like honeymoon stage. Oh, my tummy's rumbling. It's still like honeymoon stage.
Is your tummy rumbling for cock?
Oh! You did not just say that on radio. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean...
My tummy is rumbling for cocktail.
Okay. No. Here's what I meant, is it's very early in the morning. You can't... Have you eaten breakfast yet?
No,
haven't. You see, you're hungry. So it wasn't for cock after all. So relax.
Stop! Oh, my God. You better wash that mouth, young man.
So this guy is he's a potential?
Yes. If
but
I'm
the moment
giving you my
you're just
time
communicating
of day,
on the phone.
Yeah. We're going to go on our first date soon, so...
Ooh. You promise me you'll tell me how it works out or doesn't.
Come on.
I'm in the circle now.
I got you, yo. Okay. Put it here.
Oh, there
put
go.
It here, GC.
Beautiful. We're in. Good. All right. Let me report back to the other guys quickly.
Guys, I'm in. I think it's safe. I will report back on whether or not she's completely crazy within the next 15 minutes. All right. Thank you.
Come on. You know I'm crazy, though, but I am crazy. You ain't get. You can tell. Pick it up?
Is it hard being a singer? Because you know, this sounds like a twee question, but it really does matter. Like when you're a singer, you share yourself with an audience.
Yes.
And when you're on stage, you have to share yourself with that audience. And when you perform or when you do an album or whatever, you're pouring yourself into that. And it makes you kind of vulnerable.
Definitely. For me, it's just so therapeutic to write music and to share music. And initially, yes, I was a bit skeptical about it. Because it's basically putting your scars on paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. And you're exposing yourself to people that you don't know. And you're exposing yourself. And in doing so, you're exposing yourself to a whole lot of criticism and judgment. And yeah, like getting into it, going into something like that, there's a lot that you won't be able to comprehend initially, in the initial phase.
Right.
But once you get into it and you see how it changes the lives of so many people and how so many people are inspired to do better because of your music and through the message that you convey in your music. For me, that is so liberating. Like, wow. I feel like, wow, that's like overwhelmingly satisfying.
You know, I spoke to Judith Sapuma about this, and she said that her favorite thing is to come out on that stage the first time and the audience start cheering and clapping.
Yes.
And she's like, that is the special moment. Oh. That's what you're looking for, right?
It's, oh my gosh, it's inexplainable, honestly. It's incredible.
How many performances are you doing on average a week? I mean, there must be quite a lot of work coming in.
Honestly,
uh-huh.
It depends what time it is. Like December, yes.
Yeah, December's crazy.
December's insane. Yeah. Sometimes January, March definitely.
But February's horrible.
February's terrible. Unless it's like Valentine's time, especially for R&B singers. Okay. Oh, we're cool.
Yeah,
February's high for us. You know, that one February 14th, that day is like the day for us. Yeah.
All the brokenhearted people want a piece of the action.
But they were, I was safe for my heart. Mend the pain. So yeah, it's those vibes. But yeah, it really depends. It depends what time of the year it is. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it isn't. But also personally, I just feel like there's a whole lot I need to work on, which is why I'm sort of rebranding myself and reinventing myself. So I just released my very last R&B album.
What's next?
I'm coming up with my own sound, and I know a lot of people are like, oh God, this is gonna go terribly wrong. I'm just like, people haven't heard it yet. My goal is to make South African music relevant on a worldwide stage. That's the goal. So in order to do that, I can't appeal to the American market.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, I just feel like here, a lot of people, to make it internationally, we sort of sound international, almost too international.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
That's kind of boring for me. I want, like, I look up to the likes of Angelique Kidjo and Kajanin and even Dibanj and Tiwa Savage. I love people who take pride in traditional music, but they also like switch it up a little to appeal to more than just one market.
So it sounds like it's going to be a creative process, and you might come out of this with a very mixed bag of stuff.
Yeah. And it could go one way or the other.
Listen, no one wants to be typecast, music, acting, whatever it might be that you do. Yeah. You don't want to be known for just the one thing.
Absolutely.
Because it limits you and you get bored.
Absolutely.
So you want to have a wide range. You want to try some different things. Now's the right time to do that. You can afford to experiment a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Actually, I couldn't have put that better myself.
Yeah. That just use that answer. Just copy and paste that when some other
can you just
dumb
repeat that?
Radio
put
idiot.
My voice
yeah.
Notes
okay.
On.
let me just go and record this. All right. Let's get to the question everyone wants an answer to.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into those jeans? Because those are the tightest jeans I've ever seen in my
Can
life.
Can I be 100%
Did you
honest?
Pour yourself into them like water?
So I have a confession to make,
Tell
which
me.
Is probably why my tummy's rumbling.
Are they
so much.
Painted on?
No.
Oh.
I'm wearing a waist trainer.
Ooh.
I'm training. That's probably why my tummy's going.
But look at that tiny little waist.
I'm training.
What's going on with you?
I'm training.
Yeah.
I'm back at gym. So I was training last year, like literally, I had a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Santin Fight Club.
Man or a woman?
Man.
You see, it's better if you're a girl to have a guy training you.
Yeah.
If you're a guy, it's way better to have a girl.
Definitely.
I had a female personal trainer. She was like the devil with me.
Yeah, there's something about the opposite sex that makes you feel like,
I'm
going to make you work, eh?
Also,
she kind of
hits you where it hurts. If it's a girl training you and you're a guy and she says to you, fat ass, or you lazy bitch,
whoa,
it makes you feel like you're less of a man. So you up your game.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah, that's how it goes. No, there's abuse. There was abuse.
Really?
Yeah.
No, for me, his name was Jeff Makagane, actually. He's an amazing trainer.
Mm-hmm.
He was tough. He was very, 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 very tough, but also kind of nice.
Nice looking?
No, sweet.
Just a nice guy.
Just a nice guy. So, but yeah, when it came to the work now, no way.
How do you deal with guys who are hitting on you? I mean, you're famous now, but you've always been pretty. So you've dealt with a lot of guys hitting on you. How do you let them down gently, or do you not care about how they
I've
feel?
Kinda,
and rejection is their problem.
To be honest, I've never really felt like I was pretty.
Oh, but what a lot of crap. Really?
Honestly, growing up, I had like terrible acne. And actually, I wrote something on Instagram about this the other day. I had terrible acne. I couldn't even like.
Really?
Yeah, I was so insecure about my looks, about my image. Throughout high school, I think that's why I felt so hard for that guy. Because
yeah,
a part of me never felt like, part of me didn't feel like he would go for a girl like me, because compared to the type of woman he was used to, I just felt like, whoa, what do you want from me? Like, you know, my confidence came from my talent. It came from the dancing and the singing and I guess my personality.
Okay, but the acne went away sometime.
It did. Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah, it did.
And you kind of realized.
Recently. It's only just recently disappeared.
What, like the last 5 years?
The last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so in the last year, you've had a huge amount of attention from men. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you let these guys down gently? Because there are a lot of them you're not interested in at all. I imagine like, these guys who will order the expensive liquor at a bar or whatever, and then they try to impress you.
Yeah.
But they're fat and they're old and you don't want them.
You're terrible.
Am I right?
I'm not going to say that.
These are the guys who think they've got a chance with you. They think that you're so shallow that you'd be impressed with this stuff, because they assume anyone who's a singer has got to be shallow.
It probably is.
Right. So you're at the bar and they're like, hey, how are you? And then they say, do you want the Johnny Blue? And you're like,
you're terrible.
No, I'm all right. And they go, let me put my car keys. And they put their car keys and they've got like a Porsche or a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not impressed at any of that shit. So how do you let them down?
I just ignore it. I'm just a very friendly person.
And you turn around and ignore them.
Sometimes I'll make something up, you know, think on my feet. So I'll just be like, I'm so sorry, like my boyfriend's standing here, so if you don't mind. Or I'll just pretend to be on the phone. I'll be like, hey baby, are you on your way? Oh, okay. And I don't have it here with
That's
me now.
Move. That's
but
a good move.
I have a small little tiny jewelry box where I keep different rings.
Yes.
So
and you put one on your wedding finger.
Like right there. I bought this. I found this cute little fake diamond shop.
Yeah.
Down the road from my place, where I just it has diamond. Well, it's not diamonds, but it has like stones that look
and
like
they
diamonds.
Look huge,
and then they look big. And I just I'm like. Oh,
and then this guy is obviously
so sorry,
totally. He's so intimidated by the size of the diamond.
I'm just like, sorry, I'm married. My husband's actually coming to fetch me. I'm so sorry.
And he's very big. Yeah. Very important and very strong and very.
Stop.
What kind of man do you think you will end up settling down for?
That's the thing. I
do
look
you need a man?
To find a,
you don't need.
Definitely not.
But you,
definitely
but
not.
But you might want.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, everybody wants a man. Everybody wants a partner and a significant other. But do I need him? No. Well, not now, at least. Maybe I will at some point. I mean, everybody needs somebody.
Sure.
You know, but right now, I'm like, my priority is my career right now. I'm 26 years old. That's all I care about. Not all, obviously. I care about a lot of things, but that's my priority.
Is your mom still hitting you up for money?
No, she's cool. I think, honestly, my mom didn't need to hit me up for money because she's cool. Like
you
she,
brought it up.
Oh, no. She was cool. Like after the bad phase, she got a job this side. She's cool. She's fine. She's doing she's doing well for herself.
All right.
But like she would hit me up for money literally just for the sake of like she. I think she kind of made me her bae. Like her daddy. Bless her. If you get my drift.
Her bless
she doesn't
her.
Need she doesn't need
what
me, but
do you
like,
think
just,
of
you
this
know,
of this thing that it's such a South African thing with like a blesser.
Oh,
I mean it's an interesting
the blesser life.
Yeah, tell
my
me about
boy.
What
yay.
Do you think of this?
The blesser life, man. You
and
know
these,
that Instagram
these young
life.
Girls and they're like, oh,
yeah,
my,
you know
my blesser.
They'll post pictures there.
Tell me.
Their Gucci bags and they'll be like, look at God.
Yeah.
You know, look right. at God. God got you a man who has money, who's probably married with four children.
Aren't you lucky?
Yeah? And that's what God did for you to get that bag. Like, it's just, for me, it's just, honestly, it's shocking. I see it all the time. I'm just like, look at God. Look at God. You're posting pictures of yourself in Dubai. Look at God. Really?
Yeah, but listen, it's not just really young girls who have nobody in their lives and this is the only way up for them.
Yeah.
It's also a lot of married women who see a better opportunity with some guy who's got more cash.
Yeah.
Can you believe how greedy people are?
It's incredible.
Huh?
And for me, it's just shocking how it's become a lifestyle now. Mm. Like it's a thing. Yeah. It's become like, it's okay. Like back in the day, like during my times, like
it even has a name.
Yeah.
A blesser.
A whole blesser. And for me, like that's blasphemy actually because blessings to bless someone that's something that's associated with God,
right?
Because God is technically the blesser. So for you to refer to someone who you probably sleep with for money, which is kind of like undercover prostitution if you ask me,
he's a pimp
basically,
right?
Like as a blesser, it's shocking. I just feel like this world is becoming more and more corrupt. I mean, if you look at the music industry alone,
that's a mess.
When I was in high school, we were listening to like your Go shorty, it's your birthday.
Right.
You know, we listen to like chilled lyrics. Now it's like, girl, pop that ass. Let me see that, blah, blah, blah. It's just like so raw. I'm just like, whoa.
I blame Lil Wayne and Drake.
Yeah, I blame 50 Cent. He was the one who started.
50, but he started,
he opened the
it's your birthday.
He sort of unlocked the door and then Lil Wayne opened it.
You know what he started
like
with? He started with the candy shop.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? One taste of what I got. Mm. Right.
Played
like
with
a
us.
Lollipop.
Fitty played with us.
Right.
So those licking of lollipops.
And look at him now. He's
nonsense.
Got no money.
Really?
He's got no money. He's out of money. 50 Cent. Yeah.
How is that possible?
He's run out of money.
But doesn't he have that, what is it, vitamin to do?
It's not working.
Oh, man.
It's not going well.
Fitty broke?
Fitty broke.
How's that going to work?
Fitty sad, Fitty broke. Fitty worth 50 cents.
Fitty got a fitty.
I heard something so funny the other day. I heard, because I was in America, you know, Wendy Williams has got a show, right?
Yeah.
And she said, and coming up in the next while, we're going to talk to 50 Cent. And she said, oh my God, I sound so white. 50 Cent. 50 Cent. Love her.
I can't stand her.
All right. So how are we doing making money? Are we doing okay?
Why do you want to give me some?
No, I'm just, because you know.
Because I heard.
Because the music business.
A little birdie told me.
Okay, talk to me. What are your little birdies telling you?
A little birdie told me.
What? What they tell you. Come on. Out with it.
I'm out here hearing that, you know, woo, the idols money is kind of.
Idols money.
Hey, man. Stacking up. How you doing?
No. Did you see how little they pay us for each episode? Aren't you horrified?
No, I didn't see.
Oh, you should have read the small print. There was a whole thing in there about
it. Oh, no.
It's
how could they do this to us, Gareth?
Unati, Somizi, Randall, and I live in one house. We have one bathroom between the four of us. It's very sad. There's no money.
Stop it.
Do you know any of these people? Do you know Somizi or Unati?
Yes,
or?
I know. Unati was the first one to actually play my song Spang on radio. She played it on Metro.
She's a sweetheart, huh?
She is such a sweetheart. She was one of the first people to really, really push my music,
you know,
and get my name out there.
There are a lot of people who talk absolute shit about each other in this business,
yeah,
whether
absolutely.
It's in television, in music, in radio, wherever.
Absolutely.
There are so few really genuinely good people. That when you find them,
true.
It is so worth telling everybody how good they are.
Really,
Unati's
really
one of
is.
Those people.
She is honestly such a gem. Like, always been the same person, always been sweet, always been down to earth. Like, I just, it's hard to find someone who's that humble in that position. I mean, she's like one of the pioneers in this industry. She's basically like a Hall of Famer.
And also, she never got into that whole it girl bullshit,
no,
right?
No. She's been her since day one. She's kept it real. Uh-huh. You know, so
who else do you admire? I mean, who else are your friends in the media and music? And
Nandi Mgoma,
love her,
very close friend of mine.
Right,
Burita. I love Wanda Boloi. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys all go out together sometimes in like a posse? That would be very intimidating.
Nandi and I go out all the time,
okay?
Because we're like both two crazy people. Like
right.
when we're like in the same room, oh my gosh, people like literally lose their mind because we're both like, oh my god, because we're both crazy. So Nandi's hectic. She's worse than me. She's like, oh my God, Fred, guess what happened to me? And I'm like, girl, oh my goodness, I can't believe. Like, when we were shooting The Road, we're both on set of The Road, and most of our scenes we had together because we're friends.
Yeah.
In the series. And, like, the crew.
I'm
like,
so the sorry they canned so, that show.
I know.
I mean.
I think that show was so amazing.
You know.
But I guess
also,
you know,
I just wish these TV channels, and I know that they're all tight for money at the moment because
yeah.
there isn't much money in television like there used to be. But you got to give it a chance to take off. It's not going to happen in one season.
Exactly.
If they'd given up on House of Cards after one season, they wouldn't have had the hit that they have.
That's so true. That's so, so true. And I know this is probably going to offend you, but I haven't seen House of Cards. But anyway.
No, it's okay. I think it's not my show.
Oh. Yeah, right.
I'm not involved. I have no money in it. No skin in the game. Well, listen, what can we expect from you this year? What's going to happen?
So I have two movies coming up.
That's amazing.
My friend Gabomo Vilagazi is shooting a movie.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to be starring in that movie. And I'm also going to be starring in, drum roll, Angus Gibson's very first film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And for all those who don't know who Angus Gibson is, he is a... filmmaker, and he is the founder of Bomb Productions, which is the house of Yuzo, The Road,
right.
I believe Jacob's Cross, Isibaya, and many more shows. So yeah, Angus is...
Is there a possibility that acting may eclipse singing?
Never.
No. Singing's always number one.
Singing will always be my priority.
Okay.
But
if you were forced to choose one day, you'd choose
acting's
singing.
Coming close. Mm-hmm. it's catching up to that race.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing well from acting.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm still an amateur, but yeah. I'm really enjoying
it. 26 years old. Give yourself
a
chance.
I know.
There's lots of time.
I know. I really, you know, I'm so hard on myself.
Are you impatient?
I wouldn't say impatient, but yeah, I am a little bit hard on myself. I guess to a certain degree, yes. I am a little bit impatient. Also, I guess it's because there's so many young girls that are doing a lot. Like, for me, when I look at the likes of, like, Bonang and Pearl, who are, like, taking advantage of so many opportunities and who are doing so much, I sort of, like...
Do you feel like an underachiever?
Yeah, in a way I do, because there's so many other females that are doing so well for themselves who are in my age group. So I'm just like, whoa, we need to catch up. And naturally, I am built for hard labor.
I think they're older than you by a little way.
Just a bit. Just
a
bit.
Which means your day...
Look at Nandi. Nandi's like a year older than me.
Your day's coming.
It is.
All right, let's recap. So there was some asshole boyfriend who broke your heart at 17.
Yes.
Which has poisoned the well.
Yes.
Your mother keeps hitting you up for cash.
No, she doesn't.
Once you were so poor, you had to...
She hits me up for gifts, actually.
Once you were so poor, you had to eat handfuls of mud and you were walking to school across the dirty Umgeni River.
I am going to slap you.
In
fact, I'm going to punch you like I did that game.
Right now, your stomach is growling because you're hungry for men. Am I right? What have I left out?
Oh, my wow. You forgot the part where I punched somebody?
That's true. All of that I just said doesn't matter. She's a very sweet, lovely, adorable girl who's got no violent streak in her whatsoever. She just punched one girl's lights out once.
Yes, but she deserved it.
Took
trust
her
me.
Down. Well, listen, you are spectacular. It's a pleasure to meet you properly. I hope that we see success after success and you come and visit us again.
I hope so.
And you let me know how it goes with this guy who you're talking to on the phone.
Yes, Mr. Nice Somebody.
Mr. X.
Mr. Special Somebody.
All right.
Stop it.
You tell me how it goes.
I will.
All right. You promise?
I pinky promise.
All right. If you don't tell me within 2 weeks, then I'm going to assume everything's gone horribly wrong.
Okay, cool.
And if I don't hear from you in 3 weeks, I'm going to think you've been abducted.
Please right. come find
by
me.
By King...
Please be Liam Neeson and taken.
By King Swati, and he's got you in some retards.
I'll be wife number 200 and what?
55.
Oh, okay. Right.
Thank you, Munir. Lovely
to
see you.
Me.
Thank you, Annie. CliffCentral.com.